The Australian Open. It's where the tennis world has gathered to start the Grand Slam year for over 100 years. And there's nothing else like it.
2022, our women's singles champion, Ash Barty.
Join me, James Bracey, as I find out what makes the Australian Open so iconic. From the players that have made it. Todd Woodbridge, Jim Courier, Yelena Dokic, Dylan Alcott, Pat Rafter, and Ila Tomjanovic. Australian Open, the Happy Slam. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now let's get serious for a sec, because we've been talking about road safety, given the story I've brought you in the first hour of the program out there at Glenorie. And the death toll on our roads this holiday period is absolutely disgraceful. It's heartbreaking as well. Between Christmas and New Year, 9 people were killed on New South Wales roads. On top of that, 8,118 people were caught speeding, 642 people drink driving, 972 people drug driving, and police responded to 746 major crashes. The numbers are horrific, all that in just 11 days. So what will it take to cut through to drivers? Some people seem to have no regard for how fragile life is. Maybe we need to hear real life stories from those who have faced the heartbreak of losing a loved one on the road. In 2012, Peter McGuinness and his wife Melissa lost their 18-year-old son Jordan in a car crash. There were 4 other young people in the car. They also died. Jordan was the driver and was under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Amazingly, Peter and Melissa have turned their grief into advocacy, speaking at schools and raising awareness about road safety through their organisation called You Choose. I thought we'd catch up with Peter McGuinness, and I'm pleased to say he joins me on the line right now. Peter, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Thanks for the warm welcome, mate. And great to catch up, albeit under these appalling circumstances.
Yeah,
just to make a brief correction to you, mate, Jordan did not have the 4 innocent young people in the car with him. He collided with a stationary vehicle that contained 4 of those other young people. So naturally, today and every day, our hearts go out to those poor innocent victims, and indeed to every victim of road trauma everywhere.
I'm glad you've corrected me on that. My apologies. Mm. I really wanted to catch up with you today, Peter, though, because, you know, I made the point off the top of the program that I think it's the real-life stories that people respond to and it resonates with people, because the road safety message just isn't sinking in. You know, I rattled off those numbers yesterday and I got a little bit angrier here on air, and that is because constantly I have to sit behind this microphone and report on family members who lose loved ones as a result of drink driving or some other person on the road who's broken the rules. Talk to us about what you do in schools and the message you're trying to create in and amongst young people to prevent what you went through with your son a number of years ago now.
Yeah, they're very astute observations, Mark. You ask a question that many people ask when road trauma affects them, and that is, how are we going to get through, not just to young people, but to all drivers, with messages that they've been receiving, by the way, in awareness campaigns for some 30 to 35 years. You know how much time, energy and effort is placed into awareness campaigning about drink driving, the Fail 5, all of the aspects that cause road trauma. People are well aware of what their obligations are as drivers and passengers. But what we're seeing, not just in New South Wales, Mark, but in reporting jurisdictions all over the country, is the road trauma statistics either static or, more disturbingly, going backwards. And indeed, in the 16 to 25-year-old age category, Mark, many, many jurisdictions around the country are reporting acute rises in road trauma. So I believe what we need to do is to recognise that road safety is indeed a very complex issue. It's not just one thing. And you know this through your talkback, Mark. People have passionate viewpoints with regard to skills training, with regard to the engineering matters of safer cars and safer roads. Road safety is obviously a rules and regulations issue and a policing matter as well. In fact, it's all of these things. But when you consider the logic, the most skillful driver, the most well-trained driver, in the safest car, on the safest road, in the most stringently policed jurisdiction, is still making choices and decisions which destroy their own families and the families of others. Mm. So what You Choose, we're deeply curious as to why this is. And, you know, we've spent near on 7 years going around the country learning from young people about the social aspects of what drives this decision-making inside the friendship groups.
And I'm sure you make the point that, you know, your son Jordan made that choice in 2012, and it's left you, Peter, and your wife, Melissa, having to talk about not only your son who died, but the four other young people who died as a result of this of this car crash. I don't want to open up old wounds, but as we pointed out, it's the real-life stories that resonate with people. Are you able to take us through what happened in 2012?
Yeah, sure, Mark. Look, very importantly, we don't seek sympathy for any of this. The sympathy belongs with Jordan's victims, of course. What we seek is change. But on that evening, Jordan had made the decision to return to the Gold Coast from Brisbane from his first ever work Christmas party. As you said in the intro, he was over the blood alcohol limit. He had cannabis in his system, and he was speeding well over 30 kilometres of the speed limit. And he collided with that stationary vehicle that contained those four other young people, and five other young people, and four of them were killed on impact, including Jordan himself. So in 2017, we were invited by Queensland Police to talk to a Save Day event on the Gold Coast about our lived experience, thinking that it was a cautionary tale. But as you correctly point out, cautionary tales are being lost on people these days, Mark, because people don't identify themselves as victims. They simply don't. But what does get through to them? Well, we're learning that despite the fact that young people and drivers of all ages and passengers of all ages don't readily identify as victims, they all love someone. How do we express our love for people? Well, we seek to protect them. And one of the easiest ways that we can protect people from preventable tragedy is to be a maker and an advocate of really good choices in those brief moments that can make the difference between life and death. And for young people especially, that counts for every time they enter a vehicle, either as a passenger or as a driver. We've found that it's passivity, which is one of the major causes of road trauma, Mark. We've got this in our mind's eye, but it's the determined lawbreaker that causes most of these crashes. And of course, we do have to be really vigilant when it comes to hooning and deliberate criminality. But people would be surprised how often it's simple passivity, thoughtlessness, which causes these things. I can't tell you how many times we hear young people saying, I knew I shouldn't have got in that car, but I just did. People who would develop passive habits, just driving those 9 kilometres over the limit, driving from A to B without really being engaged in their behaviours, just sleepwalking through their driving. These are the things that we draw attention to. Road trauma simply doesn't have to happen. We hang on to a lot of myths in this country. We call them accidents. Veteran police officers will tell you, not just in Australia, but around the world, they almost never attend a genuine accident, something that's genuinely an act of God. They're almost always caused by people's choices. And when we have choice, we can take on the long arc social project of shaping people's attitudes and behaviours. It takes a long time, but together as a community, we all should approach this as a social change issue. Similar to climate, similar to diversity, equality, and all the other big issues we're working on at the moment, because what's happening statistically at the moment is simply not good enough.
Does it start in schools, Peter? I mean, what you're doing in schools is obviously resonating with those kids. Is that when the message needs to start? Is this something that should be taught at all schools? And then how do we keep that message? Do we have to remind people by having this real-life stories being told to people? Do we need to sit there and watch these stories before we are given a licence? I mean, what do you think the way in which we combat this ongoing problem of road safety in this country? What's the answer?
Well, I think there are a multitude of answers, Mark, but one of the major things that we can do is to recalibrate the way we think about the issue of road safety. As matters stand, we tend to believe that we have all of the answers that will solve the road trauma issue in Australia, and that the challenge is to put these answers into young people and to put the answers into the community. At You Choose, we sort of challenge that paradigm by saying the community and the young people have to be intrinsic to the solution. We have to undertake this matter together. I'll give you an example. Have you ever tried to put the wrong empty milk container into the wrong bin in front of a 16-year-old? What are you doing? You know, you're ruining the planet. There's this amazing sense of righteousness, you know, that's sparked up in them, you know. What we seek to do is spark up that same sense of righteousness and purpose to this completely preventable tragic situation of road trauma, changing the Earth's temperature is really difficult. But leaving a school auditorium or leaving a school classroom, having done our program, and advocating good choices in people around you, exchanging permissions in advance to speak up and to act in moments that matter, can start saving lives with immediate effect. And in the long run, we can change our culture.
You're so right. You are so right. You're a remarkable man, Peter. Given, I could sit here and this is what I mean. And Peter, I'm talking to the audience here. This is what I mean about stories that resonate with people. And I'm sure we've got people listening across Australia hanging on every word you're saying, Peter, because you've lived this experience. You know, admittedly, your son did the wrong thing, but he lost his life. You had to grieve the loss of your boy. But there are four other families who are mourning the loss of their loved ones as a result of what happened on the roads. And for you to now be with your wife, Melissa, in schools telling people about what needs to change, that's what I mean about real life experiences resonating with people. And I shared the story earlier, Peter, that when I was at high school at Sylvania in Sydney, Sutherland Shire, we had a gentleman stand in our auditorium and speak to the Year 12 students about road safety. He lost his daughter in a car crash. The other driver was drunk behind the wheel, and he cleaned up her car while she was on her P plates, and she died. There wasn't a dry eye in that auditorium that day. We're talking about, you know, too cool for school, year 12 students about to leave school, graduate from their HSC. And I just remember looking around that room thinking to myself, if this is the reaction from year 12 students, imagine the reaction we could have from everyday Australians when people like yourself, Peter, your wife, Melissa, other victims of road trauma are telling their stories. Do you sort of see where I'm coming from?
Oh, absolutely. Look, road trauma has been so normalised and we've become so inured to it. That it really doesn't hit our radar as a social mission until it happens to us. You know, it's a policing matter. It's the laws and regulations matter. It's a skills matter. It's a driver ed matter. And all of that is true. It is. But you can't teach attitudes and behaviours to people. You can't. They have to arrive at them themselves, and they have to be shown how to arrive at that. And that happens between just two people. We don't have to change all of Australia into massive road safety advocates overnight. But what we can do is equip each other to have expectations of each other that we will obey the road rules, that we will make sensible decisions with the knowledge that we've got. And if we don't, we expect our friends or our family to speak up and act and uplift us to good choices. Road trauma simply doesn't have to happen, Mark.
Yep. Peter, can I keep in touch with you, mate? I think we need to chat more often on air. In particular about this message, because you've blown me away over the last 7 or 8 minutes with what you've been talking about. And I'm going to open the lines and hear from our listeners as to whether or not they've been affected by what you've just said, because you've certainly affected me with what you've said, and you've had a profound influence on me with your lived experience. So, Peter, I really thank you for giving up some time for a chat. I just, off the back of those numbers that came through from New South Wales Police yesterday, I really wanted to go a bit more in-depth into this road safety message and on ways in which we can change that mentality. And I hope our policy makers and our law enforcement officers are listening to people like yourself who we need to listen to and we need to change.
Mark, I commend you for your passion on the topic, mate. Look, at the end of the day, good intentions mean nothing if your choices harm other people.
Yeah.
Intentions are meaningless. All that matters when it comes to your choices as a driver and as a passenger is what you do. And you can make safe choices. Reckless driving is not a part of growing up. Reckless driving is not a something that's unavoidable. It's a choice.
All right, Peter, good to chat, mate. We'll keep in touch. I'll grab your number and we'll catch up for a coffee or a cup of tea. I think we could probably talk about this for a few more hours, but I've run out of time. I've got to get to some news headlines. Lovely to catch up, mate.
Thank you, Mark. You too, mate.
Good on you, buddy. Bye. That's Peter McGuinness. He and his wife, Melissa, they run an organisation called You Choose. They speak at schools raising awareness about road safety. What a remarkable man. He's blown me away. Seriously, that's unbelievable.